Thank you, worship team. How awesome are they? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I'm going to move this over. All right. If you have your copy of God's Word, please take it out and turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, first gospel there in the New Testament. If you happen to have to go to your table of contents, that's okay. I'm not going to judge you. All right? Matthew 21. Here's what I want to do the rest of this summer is kind of look at parables. Parables are what my parents always taught me is earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And they're different parables. Jesus told different parables. And so I want to walk through that this summer because I know people are traveling, vacations, sports, all that kind of stuff. People are in and out. And so these are kind of just standalone messages. But we're not going to look at some of the ones maybe you always think about when you think about parables. Okay, so we're going to go to some small ones. There may be one-verse parables. Jesus told one-verse parables. And so we're going to look at some different ones, okay? And so hang with me this summer, and that's what we're going to dive into, okay? Parables. So today we're going to talk about really faith and spirituality. And so while you're turning there, let me tell you this. We just got back. We just ended our vacation. We went to, the family went to the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention in Orlando, and so we hung out a few days in Orlando, then went to the beach. And so in Orlando, what do you have to do if you're in Orlando? Disney. So we did Disney. We did Disney World in one day. So yeah, so we have grown kids, so it's a little bit easier. You know what I mean? Like, I want to help all those parents around pushing kids and strollers. They got, like, strollers with eight kids on them. There was people with, like, there was one family that got on two strollers and, like, eight kids or something. I don't know. I'm like, whatever. Lord bless you. I wanted to, like, pray a blessing on them. But anyway, and so there was all this. So we hit three parks in one day. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. And I had a lot of sunburn. I still have a white stripe from my hat being backwards. But anyway, that's okay. You can judge me for that too. But so we did that. Then we went to Universal. And Universal is a little bit more of the big roller coaster rides. You know what I mean? And so we rode those rides, and the Velocicoaster was one of the best rides I've ever ridden. That was intense, y'all. But while we were at Disney, our Universal, we wanted to do all the rides. And so the longest line was in Harry Potter World, okay? And we went to the Harry Potter World there at the Islands of Adventure. And the biggest ride, the longest wait, was this Hagrid ride, who's a character at Harry Potter. And this ride, this roller coaster, you get on, and then you're like, it's a motorcycle on one end, like one seat is like a motorcycle, and then you put the bar down over you, and the other seat's a sidecar. And so I was on the motorcycle. I get in. If you've never ridden it, it was a long wait. It was like, I think it was almost 2 hours when we got in line. I think it was a little bit less, but it was a long wait. You're going through all this stuff, smelling all the smells of people who've been at Universal all day. I wasn't one of them. I'm just saying, you smell it, all right? And so it's already gross. So you kind of get there. I'm claustrophobic anyway, so I'm like, okay. And so we get there, and then it's like a moving sidewalk. The ride comes up, and it's a moving sidewalk. And so I'm already like, you know, you're having to get in, like, and then they're telling you all the stuff. As you get there, they're like, get on. When you get on, go this way. And there's like all these instructions, and I'm already stressed out. And so I'm like, okay, so it's moving. I get on the thing. Well, I get on the motorcycle, and then you just put the bar down. Well, I put the bar down, and it's still moving. And the lady comes up, she's like, I need you to, there's a black line, I need you to get the bar behind the line, below the line. I was like, okay, like, what? And, you know, and I'm pushing down, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, phew, I'm using my strength here to pull this bar down, and I get it, right under the black line. I'm like, is that enough? You know what I mean? Like, where does she go? Like, you know, she, like, disappears. She tells you got to get on the black line or what? You know what I mean? Then she's gone. I don't see her again. I'm like, lady, you got to help me out here. And so I go on the ride. I was fine. But I tell you all that to tell you this story. Several years ago, Michelle and I, before kids, I was working at my home church I grew up in North Houston. And we wanted to go work with churches in upstate New York. There's all these church plants. And so we spent 2 or 3 weeks up in upstate New York working with churches. Well, I had done ministry, and I had Six Flags season passes. And so Six Flags season pass back then, back in the day, is what we say. You could use your Six Flags season pass at any Six Flags around the nation. And so we, on the weekends, we had a rental car, and we would work, you know, Sunday through Thursday, have the weekend off to go do some stuff. And so we were like, let's just go. We went to Boston, we did all this stuff. And so we're like, let's go, let's find an amusement park, Six Flags. So we found one in Massachusetts. Was it Six Flags Over America, something like that? I don't know. some name. And so we went. We like roller coasters. We were young. It was before I went to the chiropractor a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, your back didn't hurt every day. So like, it's cool. And so we went. And we were getting in line for this Superman ride. And the Superman ride is not a big deal. You know, you've ridden a lot of rides. There's loops and there's turns. This was mostly just, you know, some bumps and stuff. But while we're in line, hear me out, the people in front of us tell us, while we're in line, that last year someone died on this ride. True story. So we Google it. And it happened. Okay. Now we get in line. Now let me just tell you this. I was a lot bigger. I know that's hard to believe. I take a GLP-1. Like, y'all are going to get to know me. I'm pretty honest, probably too much here. But anyway, so I'm just going to, like, I take a shot that helped me lose a lot of weight. And so I'm thankful for that. But this was before that. So I was a lot bigger, a lot thicker. There's a lot more space. So we get on the Superman ride. And they click down the bar. And it won't click. And we're pushing it. And I'm pushing it. Then the 16-year-old that runs it, he comes over. And he's like, hey, can I help you? And I'm like, hey, whatever. And so he tries to push. And so we're together trying to push it down. And we get one click in. One click. Everybody else is like, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, they're good. Not me. I get down. I sit down. Two of us pushing the bar down with all of our strength. We get one click. And he goes, you're good. And they just send us off. So someone died on it last year. And I'm on this ride. One click. I'm pushing, like, we're going up the hill. I'm using gravity, you know what I mean? Like, we're going up, I'm like, click, come on, push it down. Like, let's get this down at least one more click. Give me something. That was the scariest ride I've ever ridden ever in my entire life. Why? I put my faith in one little click of a bar over my lap. That, friends, is faith. I learned a lot about faith that day. Trusting him. Now, that's what Jesus is going to talk about today in our parable, is faith. Now, let me ask you this. Like, we talk about faith in Jesus. We talk about the faith we have. But I think sometimes in our culture today, there's a difference between faith and spirituality. I think sometimes we have a heightened sense of spirituality. Everybody seems to be spiritual. But do we have faith? I think there's a difference. And Jesus is going to kind of talk about that. So here's where we are. Matthew 21, I know we're talking about parables. We're jumping right in. This is the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's arrived in Jerusalem. This is going to be days before he's crucified. This is towards the end of his ministry. He's about to go to the cross. He's in Jerusalem. They have shouts of Hosanna there on Sunday. Come in, and then, you know, on Friday they cry, crucify him. And so this is in between that time. And so he's given these stories and these parables. And so right before this, though, of course, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're all there. They're gathered around, and what they want to do is trick Jesus. And so they try to ask him some questions, try to trap him, catch him in a trap. Do you think that ever happens? No. You've read it? No, of course not. Why? Jesus is perfect. He's God. He has all the authority, and that's what they're struggling with. And so what we have is a crowd. The disciples are there, but we have a crowd of religious leaders, and these religious leaders are spiritual. But what we're going to see is they don't have faith. So let's just dive into this parable. We're going to look at it. There's really one main idea, and then we're going to break it down and look at some things we can apply to our life, all right? So let's look at it. Matthew 21, we're going to start in verse 28, just a few verses. Matthew 21, starting in verse 28, it's the parable of the two sons. So here's what Jesus says. He starts with this. What do you think? A man has two sons. All right, so right off the bat, when you're interpreting a parable, you got to know the characters. That's it right here, three characters. A father and two sons. All right, that's pretty easy. He went to the first and said, my son, go work. That's an imperative command in the original. That's a command. Go work in the vineyard today. Verse 29, he answered, I don't want to. How many of your parents have heard that, right? Okay, so anyway, we won't get into that, but I don't want to. But later, what happens? He changed his mind. Now, that word change his mind is interesting. If you want to write in your Bible, you do that, underline that, because that's the word repent. So he says, I don't want to, but then he changes his mind. He repents and went. The man went to the other, this is the other son, and said, look at this, the same thing. So the same invitation is given to both sons. Okay, same invitation, go work. He says the same thing. I will, sir, he answered. But what? He didn't go. Now he's asking the religious leaders, which of the two did his father's will? And they said, the first. So now Jesus is going to help interpret this a little bit for us, okay? Here's what he says. Look, Jesus said to them, that's the religious leaders there, truly I tell you. Now that's important. This is Jesus giving us the lesson right here, okay? That's where we're going to draw in. What does Jesus mean by this? He's going to tell us truly, everything he says is truth. Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. Now that right there was a slap to them. You know why? In their eyes, these religious leaders, these tax collectors and prostitutes were the lowest of the low in the culture. They were stepping over them to get to things, ignoring them, pushing to the side. And then Jesus comes out and he says this. He comes here and he says, listen, these tax collectors, these prostitutes, the one you're looking over that you say are the lowest of the low, they're the ones that are actually trusting in me and entering into the kingdom of God. That didn't make them happy, did it? You think that did? For John came to you in the way of righteousness. That's sharing the gospel. Listen, well, here's what he says. Now he's going to use the word believe here several times. Look, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, but you, when you saw it, didn't even what? Change your minds. Guess what? Same word, repent. You didn't believe. You didn't repent. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. They're the ones entering into the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying to them. And the religious leaders, listen, the religious leaders, they have the law. They did their best to keep the law. They memorized Scripture. They read Scripture. They publicly went to worship, and yet they still had no faith. They were in church every single week, in the synagogue, every single week. They studied the Scripture. They had it down by memory, yet they missed it. Tax collectors and prostitutes were the one trusting in Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders who had everything, had the Word, were at church, were all doing all the things, were very spiritual. Didn't have faith. Tax collectors and prostitutes, they did believe him. But you, when you saw it, you didn't even change your minds and believe him. So what do we see here? The characters are, one, a man has two sons. That man, the father, is God. And we see God, he gives this invitation to everyone, to both sons, right? The first son is going to be the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And the second son is going to be the religious leaders. And what's sad is, what Jesus is revealing is the heart of these religious leaders. That they, even though they're spiritual, even though they do a lot of religious things, do not have faith in God. So what do we see? What's kind of the main idea? Here's the main idea. True faith in God requires repentance. True faith in God requires repentance. That's the changing of your mind. That word, metanoia, it means to change your direction. So listen, they probably had some sort of faith in God, even the religious leaders. But they didn't have repentance. They didn't change their minds. They just had a lot of religious activity. They didn't truly repent. They didn't say, you know what, God's way is the best way. I'm going to turn from my way. I'm going to go God's way. That's what repentance is. True repentance, true faith is turning from your old life, your sinful life, and saying, I'm going to go God's way. That's what repentance is. That's what it means to really, truly trust in God. So for us to be saved, we really have to have this moment of repentance. To say, like, now, that doesn't mean we stop sinning. We're not perfect. Jesus is the only one perfect. Okay? But we're still changing our direction. Yeah, on that direction, are we going to sin? Yeah, we're sinful people. That's going to happen. But we're still on that same path towards Jesus, not living for ourselves, not doing our own thing, not just trying to be spiritual, but repenting and truly trusting him. Because when we trust God, then the actions will come. Then the obedience will come. Not the other way around. See, that's what the religious leaders, the religious leaders were like, if I do all these things, then I'll have faith. That's not what Jesus says here. Jesus destroys that. He says, what you do is you have faith with repentance, then the actions will follow. So true faith in God requires repentance. Look, that's commitment, isn't it? Isn't repentance simply commitment to Him? Right? Isn't it? I mean, that's what repentance is saying. I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things God's way. That's a big deal. That's a big shift in our minds. That's a big shift in our hearts. That's a big shift in our life, right? Because that translates into everything. How I'm going to parent, how I'm going to be a husband, or how you're going to be a wife, or how you're going to be a worker at your job, like how you're going to pay your taxes. All of that translates into that, right? I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to trust Him so much that I'll give Him all of my life. I'll give Him all of my money. I'll give Him all of my stuff. I'll give Him all of my time. I'll give Him all of my heart. I'll give Him all of my life. And listen, I'm going to go His direction because I know there's blessing in following Him. Because when we just practice spirituality, what we find is emptiness. There's nothing there. Really, what we're doing is living for ourselves. And so, true faith requires repentance. So let's look at a few application points, all right? Some little takeaways from this text this morning that ties to that. Number one is this. Good intentions do not equal faith. Good intentions do not equal faith. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of like the king of good intentions. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I will do that. Like, we say that all the time. I will do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Like, when I was growing up, my mom would say, take out the trash. I'd be like, yes, ma'am, I'm going to do it. Then I didn't do it. But I said I would. Like, that was good intention, right? I should get a pat on the back. No, I didn't. Why? Because I didn't truly obey. I just had a good intention. And sometimes I think we do that with God. Like, I'll get up, I'll go to church. Oh, I'll go to prayer meeting. Or I'll come to small group. Or I'll serve. Or I'll give. We say all these things, but we really don't put our actions behind it. We just have these good intentions. And we pat ourselves on the back that we thought it was a good idea. Well, I got up early for church, but then I made coffee, and then, you know, the Cowboys were playing, and so they had an early game, and so I just didn't. And that's a lose anyways. You know they're going to lose, so, I mean, it doesn't matter. And so you're like, you know, and so you're like, well, I got comfortable. I was still in my PJs, but I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read my Bible. I got up, I turned the light on, then my phone started blowing up with all these things and stuff from work and all this. And so I wanted to read my Bible, but then all these distractions happened, and then I just didn't, but I wanted to. Honestly, do you think we're going to get to heaven and God's going to pat us on the back and say, thanks for all your good intentions? Honestly, do we think that? No. He desires faith with repentance and then true action, not just good intentions. Because here's what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees, these religious leaders, the scribes, here's what they were doing. They were performance-based. And their walk with God had no faith, had no repentance. It was just performance. They didn't have a personal relationship with God. And sometimes that happens. Our faith, our walk, like, this is why we're spiritual, is because we're just performance-based. We even do good works just because we think that will get us into heaven. We think that will get us saved. We think that will make God love us more, but it doesn't. Nothing you can do will make God love you more. Amen? That's okay. It's okay to say that because God loves you no matter what. Amen? Like, He loves you the max right now. You're like, Paul, you don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter. I know this. I know God's word, and He loves you no matter what. Like, nothing you can do can change that. But performance is really just about us. It's pride. It's look at me. Look at all that I did. I do this. One of my favorite things my professor said at Howard Payne University, he said, in Sunday school, they gave me the humility pin. I wore it the next week, and they took it away. Like that, like, sorry, y'all. That one of my favorite jokes of all time, right there. Right? I mean, it's like we're performance based. Like it just becomes pride, right? Instead, what we do is we have a personal relationship with Jesus, and then the actions flow from that. Obedience flows from that. Our relationship, our personal relationship with Jesus, that's where we find fulfillment. But this is what our culture is all about performance right now. Isn't it? You know how I know? Social media. You get on social media, it's just performance-based. Right? I mean, do you ever put up a big, like an ugly picture of yourself? Do you ever do that? Yeah, on social media, do you find the ugliest picture? You're like, let me just put up the ugliest picture that I got from our vacation. You know, no makeup, hair's a mess. My hair's a mess. Like, you know what I mean? Like my sunburn picture with my stripe across. Did I take a picture of that, put it up, and be like, here I am? No, what do? We choose our best ones. We want this. We shoot videos, and it's all just performance-based because we want views. We want likes. We want followers. We want all these things. This is what our culture is. I watched a lady one time on one of the reels or something, and she's like, my dog helps me have a seizure. And she was in the kitchen, and she, like, had a seizure or something. The dog comes and loves on her, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then I thought for a second, she's filming this. Like, she set up a camera in her kitchen to get a seizure. Like, it's just performance-based. I'm trying not to judge. Y'all know, I have a problem with judging, so I'm working on it. But it's like, it's just all performance-based. Like, we just want to see people, like, we want to perform for people, especially on social media, and it's just fake. And what do we got to do? Just be personal. Just be real. Just have a real relationship with Jesus. He is personal in our lives. And the more we stop performing and just trust in Him and have a personal relationship with Him. One of my mentors said this, you'll probably hear it several times, but Dr. Hunt, that guy would get up and pray for hours in the morning. Like 4:30 a.m., pray for like 3 hours. I'm not there yet, y'all. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. But you know, he said one of the things he would do is, and you can try this if you want, he said he would sit down in his chair and he'd make 2 cups of coffee and he would place it right next to him and that would be like for Jesus. And he would just sit there and have a conversation with his personal Jesus right there. That's how personal it was for him. It wasn't performance. It's personal. It's not just good intentions. It's faith. And here's the second thing. How do we have real faith? Here it is. God always gives you a chance to change your mind. God always gives you a chance to change your mind. That's to repent. He gives the invitation to everyone. The Father gave the same invitation to both sons, right? Same. Go work. One said, I don't think so, and then changed his mind, did. The other son said, I will, and didn't. Like, there's a big difference. But here's the thing. God gives everyone the same chance. He's giving you a chance right now. He's giving me a chance this morning to repent. It doesn't matter how far you've gone you think you are. It doesn't matter how deep you think you are in sin. It doesn't matter how, the life of sin just makes us more and more unhappy. We dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and we get more and more unhappy. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. We don't know any of those things. And what do? We repent of that, and we begin to live for Jesus. We trust in Him. And then listen, He's always going to give us that chance to repent. Satan doesn't want you to repent. Satan wants you to be unhappy just like he is. He wants to steal that away. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your hope that God gives you. He wants to steal away. How does he do that when we don't repent? He doesn't want you to repent. But God, our Father, he wants you to repent. It's to change your mind and say, I'm not going to live in that sin anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Listen, you can repent this morning. Like Man, you're struggling in life. You think you're heading the wrong direction? Just repent. God offers you forgiveness and mercy and grace this morning for free. Maybe there's some other things going on in your life. Just a path of sin, destruction, hurt, pain. Maybe this morning God's saying to you, you need to repent. You need to change your mind. But listen, here's the thing. God doesn't force you to repent. In fact, from what I read in Scripture, God doesn't force you to ever do anything. He invites you to. He gives you a chance. And maybe this morning, like, you just need to repent of some things. We're going to have, listen, let me just go ahead and tell you right now, we're not going to have a public microphone set up here, and you're going to come down and start repenting of things. All right, yeah, that's fine. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not going to do that. Amen. You know, yeah, amen. You know, I don't personally, listen, y'all, I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, that's between you and God. That's between you and your spouse. That's between you and your family. That's between you and a coworker, whatever it may be. That's between y'all. But here's what you can do. You can talk to the Lord and repent right now in your heart this morning, right where you are. And maybe there's something that you need to do. Maybe there's some sins that you need to repent of. Maybe no one knows. Maybe it's just between you and God. Maybe it's bitterness, envy, lust, greed, pride, anger. I don't know. I know my things. I know what I need to repent of. But what is he telling you? To have true faith, though, there's got to be repentance. And listen, he always gives you a chance. And maybe this morning, that repentance is simply putting your faith in God for the first time. Maybe you've never made that decision. You've practiced spirituality. You've checked some boxes off, but you don't have a real personal relationship. How do you do that? You repent and believe. Maybe this morning you need to do that. But here's the last thing. Third thing is this. Faith means letting go of your nose. Now, not N-O-S-E, not that, N-O apostrophe S. Faith is letting go of your nose. It's where have you told God no? Because that's not true faith. If you're a believer, you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you've repented, you're walking with him, doesn't matter if it's a year or months or 10 years, decades, 50 years, like, we still struggle with this, right? Because we don't want to turn everything over to God. God wants us to submit to him. He wants us to surrender to him. But what do we do constantly? There's a lot of times in our life, in different areas, we tell God no. But what we like to do is we pat ourselves on the back because we've told him yes in these other areas. Yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do that. Usually, it's the easy things. Right? If God's asking you to do something that's kind of easy, you're like, yes, yes, yes. And we pat ourselves on the back. But when it comes to the tough stuff, where God's like, here's what I want you to do. Here's my will. Here's my desire. It's up to you to be obedient. There's the invitation given. We say no. And then, hear me, we expect God's blessing. God doesn't bless you when you tell him no. No amens from that. That's okay. Because that's the truth of Scripture. Listen, God doesn't bless you when you say no. Here's the thing. We like to tell God no, no, no. Then we get mad at him when he doesn't bless us. We ask him, where are your blessings, God? And God's up there saying, you've been telling me no for all these years in this one area, and you want blessings? That's not going to happen. Amen? It's okay. I've learned that from my life. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I have it all figured out. I still struggle with it too. But that's the truth of Scripture. We can't keep telling God no and expect his blessings in our life. But Paul, that's going to be difficult. Yeah, I know. I know. Faith is difficult. Good intentions are easy. Faith and obedience difficult. We got to put away the excuses. I'll do it later. God, I'll say yes to you later. Let me make this much money. Let me get this house. Let me get this car. Let me live here. After this vacation, then I'll say yes. Now's not a good time. There's a lot going on. I can't say yes to you. That's going to mean a lot. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice right now, so I will later. We tell God to wait. Maybe this morning you need to say yes. Maybe you've said yes in some areas, and that's good. But maybe there's some other ones you've been saying no for too long. And you have not experienced the blessing of faith and obedience in him. I read the story this week of one of the most famous missionaries of all time, Hudson Taylor. If you don't know Hudson Taylor, born early 1800s, died 1905. I think he was around 70 years old, somewhere around there. But Hudson Taylor did something amazing. Hudson Taylor felt a calling on his life to go be a missionary to China. And he left England, went to China, took 11 trips over there, stayed for a long time, and had an incredible impact. Hundreds of missionaries came out. There are 100,000 believers in Jesus because of him. Chinese believers who never heard the name of Jesus, they believed in him. Hundreds of thousands, like 129,000 Christians he made in the 1800s going to China. He started the China Inland Mission, just huge. Did so many things. Translated the Bible. It was unbelievable. But Hudson Taylor was going on a trip back to China. And he knew this, he would never see his mom again. She was elderly, up in age, and he was about to leave in 1865 to go back to China. And so his mom, he writes about this in his journal, but his mom comes to visit him. He's in a cabin. She sits on the bed, smooths it out, sits by his side that day. They sing their last hymn together that they're going to sing. They get down on their knees, and together they pray. Then he hears the sound, and he has to go to the boat. And his elderly mom walks out on the shore as he gets on the boat. And Hudson Taylor, knowing in his heart he'll never see his mom again on this side of heaven, watches as the boat begins to pull off. She moves down and he says this, "The excruciating pain of separation already sets in." But he knew this. He loves Jesus. His mother loved Jesus. And they learned a lot about the love of God that day, about faith and about obedience. Even him watching, knowing it'd be the last time he saw his mom on this side of heaven, leaving on that boat to go do missions in China. He was doing it and saying yes to Jesus. Was there pain and hurt? Yeah. Was it difficult? You bet. I can't imagine. But that's a man who said yes, and what do we see? The blessings of his faith and obedience. So saying yes to Jesus, it might be tough. But are we willing to pay that price? Because listen, the price of disobedience is far greater than the price of obedience. Maybe today you just need to say yes. What do you need to say yes to him? It may be something, start small. Like, listen, if that's you, start small. Maybe there's something like little that God's been placing on your heart. You're like, say yes to that. Just like walking with Jesus is a process. Amen? It's not like a light switch where you switch it on. You're like, oh, good, I'm sanctified. Boom. You know what I mean? Like, I wish it happened like that, but it's a process. So maybe even just little by little, like there's something maybe that God's been working with you. Say yes in that area and then begin to work on the other areas. Maybe you need to say yes to Jesus and trust him as your Lord and Savior. You've never done that. Listen, you need to put your faith in him and repent and say, you know what? I'm not going my way anymore. I'm going your way, Jesus. You can do that. At the end of the service, we're going to have a time where we're singing. I'll be down here. You can come tell me. I just want to trust Jesus. We'll pray right now. You can give your heart to Christ. Maybe you've been making some excuses. Maybe for years. And this morning, God's saying, put away those excuses. Maybe you've just been performing a lot. You've been spiritual. Maybe it's time to make things personal and have faith in him, obey him, then let the actions come, not the other way around. Let's pray.